in, I found that helps us to listen a little bit, and it helps us also to focus on what the Lord is trying to get us to see, and this helps us to pay attention a little bit more clearly. So I'm going to ask you to fill these blanks in, and then we will keep doing this subject here through the missions conference, which will be at least 3 or 4 weeks. And please try to be faithful, and that way you'll be won't miss anything. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Let's read that verse together if we could, just to get us on track here. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Here we go. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for your goodness. God, we come before you in humility, realizing we don't deserve your goodness. We also come before you as a needy people. We realize that we need to learn from you. And I pray even this morning, even we may be familiar with this subject in many ways, but today help us just to learn some things that would help us to serve you better, help us to know how to serve you better. I pray for folks in our church to be faithful. Pray that you'd bring them out and that they'd understand that they have not just an opportunity, but they also have a responsibility to reach the world with the gospel, and it belongs to each of us as members of this local church. Pray that you'd bless those that are away from us today because of illness or travel. Keep them safe, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the very, very first line, the very, very first blank, the calling that we honor. Now, I'm going to take you over and show you some verses about this in just a minute, but just want to show you something interestingly here. The words missions and missionary never appear in the Bible, and those are words that we have chosen to use. I'll show you why in just a minute. But the words missions and missionary never occur in the authorized version of the Bible. That does not mean that the concept isn't there. It just means that the words aren't there. But the word missionary, interesting word, it comes from a Latin verb, which is the verb mitto. I kind of enjoy etymology. I don't know how fascinated you are by languages, but over the years, I've found that there's a lot to be learned by seeing how words work in different languages. And the word mitto means to send. So when you look at John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. A missionary is one who is sent. The Latin word is missionis, and it means a sending or a dispatching. Now, I always question things that I find on the internet, but there's an online etymology dictionary, and it says that the word missionary came into use in the 1640s and 1650s, which is after the King James Bible was translated. But the word mission, interestingly, came into use in the 1590s, and it meant sending abroad. And much of the use of these words, even from their inception, had to do with missions. So we have this word that we're going to study. It's this idea of missions and missionaries. And I want you to know, while the word doesn't appear in the Bible, the concept does. And I'm going to tack some things onto that word that we need to remember as we get ready for our missions conference. Amen? Now, when we have our missions conference, we're going to have some people here. And some of them are truly missionaries, and they are going to show you what they are doing and what they are going to do in one case as they go out to reach the world with the gospel. We already support 8 different ministries, and technically 6 of them are missionaries, and I'll talk about that here in just a minute. But folks, and I here's what I did last week, and so you can get ready for this. I sent some emails to some missionaries that I know, and I asked them some questions. I said, first of all, would you... Just I saw a couple of them, I asked this, would you send me some pictures of some people that got saved and baptized that would not have gotten saved and baptized unless a missionary had gone to the foreign field. And so not somebody who's already saved, but somebody that got saved because of the missionary. One of these people, I'm going to show you their pictures here in weeks to come. His name is Bond. I don't know how much you know about Thailand, but in Thailand, everyone has a name that's complicated and no one knows how to pronounce it. And they all have a nickname. And their nickname is almost always one or two syllables. And it's, I'm going to turn the air conditioner down a little bit. It's one or two syllables, and it is always easy to pronounce. And this man's nickname is Bond. And he's about, it's been a while since I've seen him. I'm going to say he's about 40. Maybe he's in his late 30s, perhaps. And Bond is really growing in the Lord. He's able now to do things like lead singing, and he can teach, he can soul win. And he is a man who got saved because a missionary went to Thailand. And so I'm going to show you some pictures of these people. I asked the missionaries a second question, and that was, I asked them, what does it take to see a soul saved on the mission field? And those are always interesting answers, and I've already gotten about five or six responses back. I'm collecting them. I've been waiting for three or four more from some of our missionaries, and then I'm going to show you what those are as well. But I think you would agree with me, and as we go through the lessons, you'll understand something. First of all, and off outline, but just to mention it, God wants to save folks in the world. Amen. He wants to save souls. He's not willing any should perish. Fascinates me that God was willing to put the welfare, the salvation, the destination of a soul in a foreign land. He was willing to put that soul in our hands. Make sure you see it that way. Say, Pastor, not me. Yes, you and me in our hands. And we have obligations to people that we've never seen, never met, but we have obligations to get them the gospel. I want to zero in on that as we go through this. Jesus says, I send you, so send I you, and we're going to look at that. So it would be appropriate to say that the Lord Jesus Christ was the first missionary, right there on item 1C there. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first missionary as he was sent by the Father. You might want to go and look at some folks in the Old Testament, but I think that's a great place to start. The best scriptural example of a modern-day missionary is Paul, D there. He was sent out of the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. And let's turn to Acts chapter 13, and let's see some things about that, and we'll take our time here. I do not expect to finish this handout today, so you really ought to remember, when you think about missions, Acts chapter 13 should pop into your mind. Some other verses we're going to look at here in just a little bit, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and of course the Great Commission, and I've actually listed each of the four Gospels has a command to go, but Acts chapter 13 is a very important chapter because it teaches us how the Lord sends out missionaries, and folks, this is the place in the Bible where that subject is discussed in detail. Let me begin reading here in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Anybody know where Antioch is? Antioch. Where's that, Greg? Probably what we'd call Lebanon, maybe, something like that. It's just a little bit north of Israel. Sure. And it's up outside of the nation of Israel just a little bit. There were actually a couple of Antiochs, but anyway. There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So they named some of the teachers and prophets that were in that church there in Antioch. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Item number one under E there on page one, Paul and Barnabas were sent out from a local church. A local church in Antioch. There's two or three things that just jump out at you in those first couple of verses. One of them is this. They were already busy. Sometimes I've heard of people that they'll say, I want to be a missionary. Praise the Lord. It's good to want to be a missionary. And I trust that God has called you. But I do believe missionaries need to be qualified before they go. Amen? So what does that mean? Well, some folks call it an internship, but I think it's even more serious than that. I like to see missionaries. I think missions is difficult in the sense that a missionary is going to a place and starting from scratch. We'll talk about that some more later, but pretty much, in our day especially, there's a couple of places in the world that I really would, if God would send a missionary there, or if he'd send me there, I'd go. One of them is Madagascar. And I have heard of one missionary going to Madagascar. It's one of the poorest places in the world. And there are many, many, many souls there and no missionary. In fact, there's a place down there. And you know where Madagascar is in the south of Africa on the east-hand side? There's a place down there called Reunion Island. It's got 1 million people on it. And the only thing there is kind of a liberal Baptist church, last time I heard anyway. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if God would send somebody there? If you were going to go to a place like that, you can't go there and learn. You need to go there and know what to do. You need to know how to start a church. You need to know how to preach. You need to know how to win souls. You need to know how to organize people. And so these men were already doing a great work in Antioch. And then something else I didn't particularly put on the handout is, but there were four or five men doing a work, but God didn't call them all to be missionaries. He said, I picked these two. Saul and Barnabas. And the others were to stay there and keep on working. We're not all called to be foreign missionaries. We are all called to spread the gospel and praise the Lord to spotlight's work. Amen? And so how about that? We're all called to spread the gospel. Amen? Amen? Did you fulfill your call this week? Amen? Hand out any tracts? Witness to anybody? Brother Hickson and I were going door to door Tuesday morning. A young lady, was she young? Kind of young, younger than we. Of course, everybody's younger than we. But anyway, named Samantha, received Christ as her Savior. And that's one more. Pray that some of these folks would come to church and get baptized and grow. He was sent out from a local church. Second, the sending resulted from a direct command by the, tell me, Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Either one will be fine. They're synonymous. And that's in verse 2. It says, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, listen, interesting thing. I'm not sure I have it in the handout, but look at verse 3. It says, they sent them away. Do you see that in verse 3? They sent them away. And then it says in verse 4, sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Well, who sent them? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. The Holy Ghost, working through the church, sent them out. When we do the work of God the way we're supposed to do it, it's the Holy Ghost doing the work through us. Amen? And that's what should have happened, and it should happen when missionaries go out. And so, amen, that's a good answer. The men who were sent were already, and what I put there is they were already prophets and teachers. You could say they were already busy. They were already qualified. They went out. After having been actively involved in that church there in Antioch and being leaders in that church. I have no idea why there's a 4 on your handout, but there's a 5. They were sent in what? Pairs. That's right. They were sent in pairs. Now, today, I can't explain this to you as well as I'd like to, but today we send out missionaries in pairs. They're typically husbands and wives. I do believe that to be a legitimate missionary, there needs to be 2. We actually, in our church in Maryland, sent out a man to Thailand. In fact, I had swapped email with him last week, and I think he might come visit our church sometime and present his work. But anyway, we sent him out to Thailand and his wife, and another family out of our church went to Thailand. His name, the first guy's name was Mike. The second one's name was John. Both of them were married, and both of them had children. And they went to Thailand and worked together. It was extraordinary. It was extraordinary. They, for example, when they get ready to go out and knock doors, here you had this army. You had Mike and his wife and John and his wife, and Mike had four children and John had five children, and slaves slowly come off the mission field now, and they're in college and married and so forth. But you had all these people, this gaggle of, what would have been, 5 and 4s, 9 and 4s, 13 people walking down the street, knocking doors and handing out tracts, two families. That worked out really well. And it worked out so well that a church up in Washington State kind of picked up on it, having heard about it, and they did that with some of their mission works as well. You don't always have that luxury, but a missionary should go out in pairs. I'm going to come to something a little bit later, and I'll just mention it now, and that is there are people that use the label missionary that really technically aren't Bible missionaries. And we'll kind of talk about that some more as we go on. Okay, so they were sent out in pairs. Next, they preached the Word of God, amen? Specifically, and you can read the verses here, that Christ was crucified and resurrected. Their message was salvation by faith and not by works. They said, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. We're saved by faith and not by works. That's the time to pause and rejoice. Amen? Praise the Lord. We didn't have to earn our way to heaven because none of us could. And that's the goodness of God. And that reminds us of how good God has been to us. Now next, number 7 on your handout. God had sent them to a particular group of people. In fact, interesting to remember this, Paul had 3 missionary journeys. It is a worthy study. We might do a life of Paul sometime. I've taught that 2 or 3 times in Bible institutes and taken it myself and studied it and had a good time with it. But anyway, Paul had 3 missionary journeys. This is the first one. And it only extends a couple of chapters here. We'll see it goes through chapter 14, and then that's the end of the first journey. It's kind of fun to look at the dates and look at the map of where you went and so on. And if you got good enough at it, you could probably draw those maps from memory somewhat. I can do the first journey like that. I can't do the second and third one. But anyway, Paul's on his very first journey. And Paul was the missionary. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, right? Interesting. Who did he have a burden for? The Jews. He said he'd be willing to forfeit his salvation if he could see the Jews get saved. He had that much of a burden for the Jews, and God sent him to the Gentiles. There's a little lesson there. Somebody says, I have a tremendous burden for a group of people. That may be who God sends you to, but He may send you somewhere else. Amen? And so you have to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit to find out where He wants you to go. But Paul was sent to that particular group of people, and you see, as you look in chapter 13, in verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And so he was sent to a certain group of people, and missionaries are sent to a certain group of people. Next, at the end of the journey, they returned to Antioch, and what do you think? Reported, exactly, to the church. Look at the end of chapter 14. It says in verse 13, is quite long, so 2 pages there. In verse 27, when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and now He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And folks, when our missionaries come back from the field, we anticipate that they would do that. Now, today, interestingly enough, of course, the missionary comes back to his sending church to report, and that's what we would have happening with our missionaries in Maryland. But the missionary would also report to the other churches that sent him out. And so today, when a missionary has 30 or 40 or sometimes more than that supporting churches, you call it a furlough. He calls it work, traveling from place to place to place to place to place, reporting to people. But that's scriptural. They should do that. And if the missionary doesn't have anything to report, that's sad. I know a man that I really have a lot of respect for. He's He's just an ordinary fella. If you met him, you wouldn't think he was a, he's not a loud speaker. He's not a really elaborate fellow. He's just kind of normal. His name's Jeff, and he went to Australia. And I remember his report just like it was yesterday. He stood in front of our church on a Sunday night in Maryland and was telling us what happened. He said, you know, we got there. Australia is a hard field. And he said, we got there and we'd have church and nobody would show up. We'd have church and nobody would show up. And so he'd just have his family. And his son, one of his younger sons, came to him one day and said, Dad, why do you keep doing this? Nobody's going to show up. And he said, well, I'm going to be faithful to God. And one of the things that Jeff did, he said he decided he was going to go to the door and just give people the gospel. That's what God called him to, give them the gospel. And he started making a point of every door he went to, not just inviting them out to church, but giving them the gospel. And over the course of 4 years, people started to come and more started to come and more started to come. And when he came back to report to us, I think their church was running 25 or 30 people every Sunday. The missionary that I told you about named Mike in Thailand that I swapped email with on Friday, he said to me, they've been over there now. I went over with them the first time they went, and that would have been 2003 probably, so 14 years, and their church runs about 40. They've seen more than that get saved, but some have moved away, and they've recently baptized 5 more people. So it's not that you're going to see churches of thousands or hundreds even maybe, but faithfully the missionary will see fruit. And we need to be faithful too, amen? And we'll see fruit as well. So they came back and they reported about what the Lord had done. And then finally, there was, wait, I missed one here. No, I didn't. Let me see where I'm at. Yep. Number 9. There was no, is the word there. There was no other agency, organization, authority, support structure, insurance company, whatever, for those missionaries other than the Lord and the local churches. And that is the Bible way of doing it, and we'll talk about that some more as we go along. Now, here are some misconceptions that we face today about missions, and you see these again in Acts chapter 13. Now, just stay with me. Not everyone is that first blank. Not everyone is a missionary like Paul was a missionary. But we all have a call from God to get the gospel out. Make me happy and say amen. Amen. We have a call to get the gospel out in 2 or 3 ways. Number 1, Acts 1:8. You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's your city. Wherever your city is, you don't need to send anybody there. You can go yourself. Amen. Jerusalem, then Judea, was the second thing that he named in Acts 1:8. Judea is the state in which Jerusalem existed, and we might think of that as our Arizona. And then Samaria, which was the next state over, in this case to the north, and that might be like the rest of our country, for example. You might think of that as our Utah or New Mexico or Colorado or California or whatever, just the rest of our country, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, is anybody here omnipresent? If you are, I need your help. No, anybody here omnipresent? I'm not either. I can only be at one place at one time. And so I guess what's going to happen is we're going to have to send somebody, amen? If we're going to be faithful, as Acts 1:8, we're going to have to send somebody, and those people are going to have to be sent. So we are all called to spread the gospel. We are not all called to go to the foreign mission field. Now, I'll say this. I can say this because it hasn't happened. But for an awfully long time, I've thought to myself, just off the record here, I wish God had called me to be a missionary. I've really enjoyed visiting the mission field. I've taken several missions trips, and I've been out there. And when you're on the mission field on a mission trip, like say, for example, we decided to take our church and I don't know, we could run down to Navajoa and see Brother Dorr. He's going to be up here to see us in November, but we could go down there and see him. Nice motel to stay in, not that expensive. I think we were paying $35 a night, something like that, and a nice place to clean the room every day and so forth. And you get to go out and knock doors with them, and you get to go to their church services and meet the people, and you you eat with them, and it's just you have fellowship with them. It's a real blessing. And then after a few days, you come home. You think, wow, I'd like to live that way all the time. Yeah, well, that's not the same thing as being a missionary. When you're a missionary, it's work. And they have the same problems we have. They have the same obstacles that we face. They face the same obstacles. They have to have money to do what they do, and they have to overcome fatigue and sickness, and they have to deal with people that are not cooperative, and they have to discipline church members and all the rest. When you're on a missions trip, it's kind of a false reality because you're just there to enjoy and not necessarily to do the work. You know, if you succeed or you fail, it doesn't really make any difference. But when the missionary's there, it makes a difference. What I'm trying to say to you is it looks elegant to be on the mission field. It's hard. One of the things you probably have never experienced unless you've been in the military, and maybe even not then, is being immersed in a foreign culture for a long period of time until you long for macaroni and cheese, until you long for a hamburger, although they've got hamburgers pretty much everywhere now. In Thailand, on the McDonald's menu, the number one is a pork burger, as it used to be. But some things over there, that the language, you never hear your own language. The culture, you never meet people from your culture. And it's hard to be on the mission field. But I say, I kind of wish God would have called me. I really don't know because I never have done it. But I do know this, God called me here. He called somebody else to go to the foreign field. Amen? Wherever God called you, that's where you go. And what's that old song? Do what you can where you are. And be faithful to God where you are. Missionaries depend on us. And we'll talk about this as we go through the lessons as well. But I don't want to get too far off my topic. I'll never get back to getting finished here. So, not everyone is a missionary like Paul was a missionary, but everyone is to be involved in missions, either by going or by sending someone through the local church. You are involved. If I gave Greg Dahlman a tract and I said, Greg, I want you to take this over to such and such a house and give it to the person that lives there. I didn't go, but if that tract gets there, was I part of the process? Amen? Greg says, well, Pastor, that's great, except I got a couple of problems. I don't have a vehicle today. Okay, Greg, I'll tell you what, you can use my vehicle. So I provide him with some resources, and he goes. I'm involved, amen? But he went. The missionaries that we send out, we send them out, and we send them financially supporting them and prayerfully supporting them, and we give them the resources they need, and then they use those to reach people, but we're involved. That's what missions is all about. So you either go or you send, one or the other. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to say it. If you're not doing either of those, you're not in God's will. God wants you to do one or the other, either go or send. And we'll see that over and over and over here in just a little bit. All right, under item F, I'm just going to mention this to you. We'll go over through this some more. Number two, conventions like the Southern Baptist Convention, associations, missions boards, agencies, etc., are not found in the Bible. The local church is the missions agency found in the Bible. Nobody, and this is very important, nobody is to have authority over other missionaries, over missionaries other than the local church. Let me explain what that means. Nelson Door is sent out by a local church. It is south of here in a city south of Tucson, or maybe just a little ways north anyway, but he's sent out by a local church. And the pastor of that local church has absolute say over what happens with Nelson Door. There's no other organization on the planet. There's no group of people, no board, nobody that can tell Nelson Door, we want you to go here, go there, somewhere else. The pastor of that church has authority over him. As a wise pastor, I have found, after having a couple of missionaries in Maryland, that the best thing to do is, number one, visit your missionary so you know what they're going through. And then number two, listen to them and counsel them, but not micromanage them, because you just don't know what they know in their field. But there are some missionaries who are under the authority of some other group, a missions board or perhaps a convention. And that group doesn't care what the church thinks. They'll tell them, go here, go there, go there. That's not the Bible way. You see what I'm saying? In the Bible, the missionary answers to the Holy Spirit, and you saw that in Acts chapter 13. It was the church that did that. Does that mean it's wrong for a group of folks to get together and help missionaries? No, it's not. But it is wrong for a group to get together and govern missionaries. So I'm just telling you plainly, that's Bible. If the missionary answers to anyone other than the local church, he's not doing it the Bible way. And we'll talk about that some more as we go on. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Number three under F. The missionaries, those who were sent, were those who preached the gospel. Okay, that's the missionary's job, to preach the gospel. We would probably elaborate on that just a little bit, and we would say it this way, and Paul did this. They preach the gospel, and they plant churches. Okay? Missionaries preach the gospel and plant churches. They are not there to train, to print, to build, to fix airplanes. You know, that's a good thing. If you want to go to the foreign mission field, I knew a fella, and he was independently wealthy, and he had retired, and he went to the foreign mission field, and he would help the missionaries. And what he was doing, it was in Africa, he was teaching the young men how to repair automobiles, because many of them would lose their job when they got saved. And so he'd teach them how to be self-employed repairing automobiles. That's great. But missions is preaching the gospel. Amen? All right, now let me just park there, and we'll kind of finish up just a little bit. There are a lot of people. We'll come back next week and continue there, so keep your hand out right there. But there are a lot of people that would like to have financial support for their ministries. And it's, again, there's nothing wrong with the church helping them. But if we're going to send out missionaries, they need to be missionaries. They need to go out and plant churches. Now, here's an example of that, and I'm done. There was a fellow that went to Thailand, and I'm trying to think of his name right now. I think it was Jeff also. I can't remember. But anyway, a fellow went to Thailand, and he went there, and he said what he was going to do, he was going to print a whole bunch of literature and distribute literature in Thailand. There's nothing wrong with that. And so he went and he went to Bangkok, and he rented office space, and he got computers, and he hired Thai people, and he began to print all this material. Well, one of the problems was he didn't know the Thai language as well as he should have. And after he'd been there a couple of years, our missionaries over there, who had been kind of bumping into him every now and then, went down to his facility, and they began to read the material that he was producing, and it really wasn't very good material. It wasn't accurate. It wasn't doctrinally correct. It had mistranslations in it. And at the end of the day, if you remember the Bangkok floods about 7 or 8 years ago, most of it got flooded and destroyed. And so 7 or 8 years had gone by, five or six is a better number, and the fellow really did not have anything to show for his work. And he would just go from place to place to place, and he'd hand out literature and go from place to place to place, and not really anything happening there. Our missionaries went to Thailand, and they found a place where they could meet, a very humble place, where they could meet with people. They began to evangelize. And they began to evangelize and then bring people to the church where they could be taught. And they teach people the gospel. Christ died for your sins. Now, in Thailand, that's a foreign concept. I told you this story about visiting over there and handing a man on the street a tract that talked about Jesus. And the man said to me, I don't need that, I have this. And he pulled out a little thing in his necklace, and it had a picture of Buddha, a statue of Buddha he was carrying around his neck. And that's what they trust in over there. But the missionaries kept telling people about Jesus, and just get this, if you don't get anything else, unless God blesses, nothing's going to happen. God blessed. People got saved. They began to come to the church. After 4 or 5 years, they had church services every Sunday, and they had a good group of folks coming out to the church services, and it was a real blessing that they were able to see growth, and they were baptizing people, good things began to happen. And in 5 years, you if you'd have visited them, you'd have said, they've got a church. Why did they get a church? Because they faithfully worked with people one day at a time, 1 week at a time. They taught English classes on Sundays to get people to come, and they'd give them the gospel. Some of them would get saved. And they just kept on working with people. Missions is working with people. It is great to print tracts. It is great to fix airplanes. It is great to do all these things, but missions is working with people. Amen? Now, we have to, as a church, have a healthy perspective here and realize there may be a time for us to financially support someone who is helping missionaries. But God gave us a primary responsibility to send missionaries. Amen? And so I want you to remember that in the Bible, the missionary was the man that went. Now, in Paul's day, things happened a little quicker than they do now. But when you look at the results of Paul's work, when Paul went to prison in Rome after three journeys, what did he do? He started writing letters to the churches that had started as a result of his labors. Missionaries preach the gospel and plant churches. That's what a missionary is. Okay, let's stop right there, and we'll come back and continue this lesson next week. Let's stand and be dismissed in a word.